Hi, everybody. Welcome to Core Light's Spiritual Weather Report for February 2020. I love these monthly calls. It's such a delight to gather and feel the energy and share, and it's such a great opportunity, even though we're not together physically, you know, to be in community, even virtually, is so beautiful. When times are this intense, we really need this. And so I thrive on it. I hope you do. I'm sitting here in our living room in South Africa. This is Brad, in case I didn't say that. And Leslie's here with me. We're sitting here gazing into each other's eyes and blowing each other kisses while you're getting on the call or being silly. We've been having so much fun here lately. We've decided to practice joy. We're making joy our practice. And I'm going to talk about that later in the call. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I know when I mention that, a lot of times people will roll their eyes and sort of cynically look at me, and I can feel the thought forms, you know. Oh, great. Here's somebody who's completely out of touch with what's actually happening in the world, you know. But the truth is that joy is an antidote. Joy is an antidote to what we're experiencing right now, and we'll talk more about it. I'm getting ahead of myself. I wanted to point out today's an auspicious day. It is a full moon, and the peak of the full moon was just a few hours ago, just before we all woke up, before the Americans woke up anyway. And it's close to being a supermoon. I know it's one of the closest times of the year. It's one of the times of the year that it's closest to Earth. So I know that it's amplifying the intensity of these prevailing energies that we're feeling, and we'll be talking about that in the call as well. Before we start our call, I just quickly wanted to mention a couple of things. If you're checking emails and you're on the email list, you noticed that an email went out a couple of days ago for hold the dates, because we've just locked into place the summer event schedule in the U.S., and we also just added an event in London. So I just want to run down those with you, just in case you didn't see the email. We'll be putting these up on our website soon as we get the details in place, and we'll send out more email announcements about the events. But just in case you don't know, this is an opportunity. You can jot this down. If you want to save the dates, so you can join us in person. And I'll be in London on May 2nd. We're going to do an intensive day on a Saturday. Santa Fe, New Mexico is May 29th through 31st. These are all mostly three-day weekends I'm announcing here. May 29th through 31st is Santa Fe, New Mexico. June 19th through 21st is Sacramento, California. And that's new. This year, I've been invited to go to Sacramento, so I'm really excited. Leslie was invited there long ago, and so we actually know quite a few people there, but it's been ages, and so I'm really looking forward to coming back and seeing Core Lighters in the Sacramento area. June 26th through 28th is going to be in Berkeley, California, in the San Francisco area. July 10th through 12th is Reno, Nevada. July 23rd through 26th is Portland, Oregon. August 14th through 16th is Boulder, Colorado. September 12th is Boston, Massachusetts. And that's we're adding a new event, a new town this year. Boston is going to be a special event for, it's going to be a concert, a fundraising concert for Seeds of Light, our humanitarian arm that supports AIDS orphans here in South Africa and the marginalized communities here locally. So I'm very excited about that. I hope to see you there. And then September 18th through 20th in Albany, New York. So do come and join me, join us. It's wonderful to have the Core Light community gather. And as I said in the email we sent out, it's just such a powerful thing we discovered. We'd forgotten, I think, what it's like to gather in person. It's wonderful to gather virtually, but there's something about being in person that really helps us to ground the spiritual energy in the core and live more deeply from the heart when we can share with each other in person. So I also just want to mention there's still a space or two available for our South Africa retreat, which is coming up here quickly, March 5th through 19th. And the details are on our website already. You can check that out if you're interested. And then also, we still have a few spaces left for the Greece retreat. It's called Awaken Your Inner Oracle, and it's October 14th through 25th with a pre-retreat, a week resting on a beautiful little island, October 6th through 14th. And also, that's on our website. So if those retreats interest you, please check it out. I'd love to see you there. I know some of you on the call have already signed up for those, so looking forward to seeing you. And Barbara is leading the Squares Call, the monthly Squares Call for processing on February 23rd, 2 weeks from today. And Barbara, thank you again for all that you do to support the students and the graduates in processing. Do you want to speak for a minute about that?
Sure, I'd love to, Brett. Thank you so much. It's just such a joy and such an honor to be able to help facilitate these monthly calls, and love to have any of you who are currently students, spiritual warrior students, or graduates or grad students, or enhanced self-discovery students. So would love to have you, and also would appreciate any processes that you all might be dealing with that you might want to suggest for the upcoming call. So you're more than welcome to share those, and I'll be sending out a notification next week to announce that call for the end of February. So looking forward to being with all of you. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you so much. And these calls are free. They're part of the course. So if you're in those courses or you've graduated from those courses, then it's a really wonderful opportunity. Barbara is a master processor. And I know those events every month are very powerful. So thank you again, Barbara.
You're welcome.
So without further ado, I think let's start our meditation, our relaxation. I'll just speak for 1 minute before we start, in case you're new. I know most people have heard this a million times if you've been attending regularly, but if you're new, what happens here is I'm doing the talking, but Leslie is sitting here silently giving a Shakti transmission, and Shakti is healing energy, and it transcends time and space. There is no such thing as time and space except in the third dimension. So when Leslie gives this transmission here in this very sacred place where we live at the foot of a sacred mountain, at the bottom end of the Nilotic Meridian here in Africa, this energy is beamed around to everybody listening to the call, whether you're present with us right now in real time or you're listening to the call in the future. And the energy is flowing throughout the call, so we invite you to be meditative throughout the call and receive the transmission. It's a field that we're all part of and we're all connected to. So we invite you to tune into those other levels beyond time and space. And this is where we're all connected in the unity and in love. So I invite you now to close your eyes and get comfortable and take a few long, deep breaths. And obviously, if you're driving, please don't do this. And if you're multitasking, it's a great opportunity to just pause in your day for a few minutes and really give yourself this gift of relaxation. So continue taking some long, slow, deep breaths, breathing in the light, deep down into your lungs, all the way down into the bottom of the lungs. Long, slow exhales, breathing out the stale air. Breathing in all that light and life force that surrounds you. Breathing it deep down into the diaphragm area. breathing out any tension or stress that you might be feeling. Breathing in the present moment and breathing out any worries or thoughts about the past or the future. Just giving yourself the gift of being right here, right now, completely present. Nothing else to do, nowhere to go, only to relax. And as we breathe, as we take long, slow, deep breaths in and out, we activate the vagus nerve, which is the long major nerve, part of the nervous system that runs from the brain stem all the way down the center of the body. And it gets stimulated and sends all kinds of information to the body to relax and let go. It's an old, ancient technique of releasing stress. And sometimes we forget that relaxation is the foundation of the enlightening of our consciousness. We get so caught up in doing and gathering information and having to know and understand. And the truth is, sometimes all we need to do is relax. Just let go. So long, slow, deep breaths, completely relaxing, completely letting go. Continue this breathing while we do a body scan from head to toes, relaxing all the muscles in the body. You can visualize a warm viscous liquid pouring over the top of your head like honey. And feel it relaxing all the muscles that it touches, pouring it over the scalp, the forehead and eyebrows, relaxing all the muscles of the head and the face, relaxing your eyeballs, letting it pour over your eyes, letting the eyeballs fall right back into their sockets, relaxing all the muscles around the eyes, which hold so much tension, many, many little tiny muscles there, relaxing the cheeks and the nose, ears, especially the mouth and the jaw and the back of the tongue. And let's focus for a moment on the back of the tongue, just letting go of any tension that you might feel in the back of the tongue. When we can really relax that area, we relax the whole region of the body, back of the head, the neck, the shoulders, jaw, all lets go. Feeling that warm liquid pouring down over you, over your shoulders, neck and shoulders. Shoulders are also an area where we hold so much tension, so consciously just let go there. You can visualize there's an angel behind you massaging your shoulders. Beautiful angel with really strong hands, gentle but strong hands. Giving you a massage, shoulder massage, neck massage, scalp massage. Deeply, deeply letting go. Feel the liquid pouring over your arms, relaxing your upper arms, lower arms, wrists, hands, fingers. Feel it pouring over your torso, relaxing your chest, your upper back. Ah. your abdomen, your lower back. Just let go. Feel this angel helping you to let go, sweeping you clear of any tension or stress in the body. Just massaging those muscles and organs and tense spots in the body. Feel this warm liquid pouring over your pelvis, relaxing the psoas muscles, which run down the front of the hips on either side, right and left side of the hips. That's also a region to focus on if you can really focus on letting go there. Let the psoas muscles relax. It relaxes that whole pelvic region. So just spend a moment there, breathing light into that area. Warm, golden light, liquid light. Just melting away any tension or stress there. Feel it draining out of you. Feel the energy pouring down over your legs, relaxing your legs, the upper legs, front and back, the knees, lower legs, calves, shins, ankles, feet and toes. Deeply, deeply letting go any tension you feel. And so now let's continue our breathing, and I'll be silent for a few moments while you continue to scan your body one more time from head to toes, relaxing any places where there still might be some tension remaining, breathing golden white, warm, liquid light into those places, and breathing out the shadow. I'd like you to visualize and feel that angel who's standing behind you, massaging you, using wings or hands or whatever you'd like to visualize, but feel that angel sweeping the energy from your forehead over the top of your head and down the back of your head and down the back of your neck. Cross your shoulders and down your back. You might see the angel standing in front of you, blowing air or with wings, moving the energy in that direction. But feel the energy flowing from your crown down the back of your head, down your neck, cross your shoulders and down your back, sweeping away any tension, any stress that you're holding on to. What often happens is we hold stress in our bodies, and when we don't want to feel it or when we want to ignore it, we push it away and it literally ends up behind us. We push it back in back of us so we can't see it, so to speak. And I know that might sound silly, but it's true. So just invite your guide, your angel, whoever it is that's there with you, to sweep this energy away and create a flow of energy down your back, sweeping the stress off your shoulders. Feel it just flowing away, like kind of like water off a duck's back. Visualize it just rolling right off. And you might have to do it myself, and I'm relaxing as we talk because I feel it working. So I invite you to feel that beautiful sense of peace, calm, that comes from that sweeping away the tension and the shadow that we hold in the body there. And now I invite you to put your attention at the root chakra, which is the base of the spine between the anus and the genitals. Just gently put your attention there and feel the root chakra opening when you put your attention there. It's automatic, just naturally happens when you gently put a focus on that area. And it's okay if you don't feel it, if you're new to this, that's all right. You just set the intention that you would like that to happen and one day you'll feel it. And then drop your grounding cord from the root chakra down into the earth and connect up with the core of the earth. Wrap your grounding cord around the core of the earth and commingle your energy with the earth energy. And as you do this, feel gravity working on you, pulling you down towards the earth, and feel Mother Earth beneath you, supporting you in the form of the chair or the floor, wherever your body is touching something. So I invite you now to just pause. I'll be silent for a few moments and just feel that connection. Just be with it. What does that feel like to you? Can you relax into it? Can you let go? Can you allow Mother Earth to cradle you like a little baby while gravity gently pulls you down into her bosom? And now draw the earth energy, the mother energy, up through your feet, the soles of your feet and up your legs, up into your body. Excuse me. All the way up to the root chakra and then up the central core of the body, the central meridian called the Sushumna in Sanskrit. It's like a luminous tube of light down the center of the body, right in front of the spine. And just let's draw the energy right up there, all the way up to the top of the head, up to the crown, and the cave of Brahman. The cave of Brahman, I know most of you know, but if you're new, it's right in the center of the head. It's a magical place, mystical place, where the hypothalamus, the pineal and the pituitary reside. And let's put our attention there for a moment, right in the center of the head at the cave of Brahman. You can find it, if you don't know where it is, you can find it by drawing an imaginary line from the point between the eyebrows straight back to your head. And then also envision and feel a line connecting your ears right through the center of your head. And where those two lines cross, that's the center of your head. That's where the Cave of Brahman is. Just take a moment to feel that place. And again, it's okay if you can't feel it, but I'm going to pause for a moment while we all try to find that place, because when we find it together, it's a very powerful experience. Like I said, it's a mystical place, and it's called the Cave of Brahman because Brahman is one of the names of God, and it's a place where you literally feel your divinity. You feel an expansion of consciousness. It's a place where thought stops if you find it, and you can put your attention fully there, fully focus it there in a very relaxed way. Thought will stop, and your body will relax. And you'll feel your consciousness become very still, and at the same time, expand. You don't have to try hard. Just relax and just set the intention that you want to be able to feel this place. And just by willing it, it will happen. Whether you're conscious of it or not, you'll activate this place. So I invite you to just hang out there for a moment or two and really relax into it. Feel how your crown chakra naturally begins to open when you put your attention there. Feel the crown chakra sitting on your head like a 1,000-petaled lotus, opening up and up and up, petal by petal unfurling, sitting on the top of your head like the crown that a king or a queen would wear. And again, just set your intention. If you're not able to feel it, that's okay. Just relax and allow the experience to unfold for you, whatever it is. I remember long ago, Leslie told me this experience that she had as a teacher. We were all sitting in a group, and she was talking us through a similar meditation to the one we're doing right now. And she watched with amazement as a man in the room had psychic surgery performed on him by a whole host of angels, and they were circling around his head using tools to take things out and put things in and open his crown chakra. And after the meditation, she said, "Tell me about your experience." He said, "Oh, I had the worst meditation. It was terrible. I couldn't concentrate. All kinds of thoughts and crazy things going on in my head." So I share that with you because you can never judge a meditation. If you're having a lot of thoughts and you're struggling with following my words, it's okay. Just let it be and don't judge it. You never know what's happening. So just relax. Just relax and open the crown and just be. Feel the golden white light that rains down up from above and fills us up all the time. If we just tap into it, the light of the divine sky, Father God, allow it to fill you up. A warm, beautiful, golden white rain pouring down from above. And feel your body and your aura soaking it up. Visualize all the cells in your body like little sponges, soaking it up, trillions of little sponges. sponges soaking up this light, filling you up with beautiful divine energy, radiating light and love inside you. And now feel on the top of your head like there's a little hook, and you're hanging from a hook like a Christmas ornament on a Christmas tree. And just allow yourself to hang there, completely letting go, completely relaxing. Feel how deeply you can relax when you just hang suspended between heaven and earth. So relaxed that all the cells in your body feel like they are very diffuse. You can feel the space between the cells, and in fact, you feel that you are mostly made of space, which is the truth. Ultimately, there's very little form, actually. It's mostly space. So feel yourself hanging there as mostly space, just relaxed and letting go, as though the breeze could pass right through you. And just let yourself dissolve. Feel yourself expand beyond the boundaries of your skin, opening up, filling the room with your essence. Deeply, deeply at peace, deeply relaxed. Feeling this beautiful energy of Shakti, this healing energy pouring into you, filling you up with love and light and healing. So as you relax into this space, I'm just going to say a little prayer and an invocation for our call today. But I invite you to not engage your mind, just be in this beautiful dissolved space. Allow the words to pass right through you. We call on the Divine Mother, Father God, and Self that we all are. All the guides in the invisible realms, the teachers, the angels, archangels, ascended masters, the gods and goddesses, the bodhisattvas, all who are named, all who are unnamed, all who surround us in the highest love and support. And I invite each of you now, if you want to silently, to call in your own guides who you know surround you and highest love and support. Invite them into this call. We invite all these beings in with our highest good in mind. And we ask that you please surround us in a cocoon of beautiful golden white light and healing energy. Guide our words and our discussion into the highest wisdom and the highest love, so that we may be uplifted and inspired, so that we may live in joy and good health, and go out into the world and share the love and the light with others. Helping this world to become the more beautiful world our hearts know is possible. We're so deeply grateful for this support and for this time that we share together today in love. We're so grateful for these bodies that we wear, these physical expressions of our soul here on earth, that we are gifted to wear for a few short years on this beautiful, beautiful blue planet called Earth. We ask for support in remembering that we are souls having a human experience, not the other way around, humans having a spiritual, occasional spiritual experience. We're so deeply grateful. With deep, deep gratitude, thank you. Aho. And now I invite you to slowly bring your attention back into the room and into your body. And you can slowly wiggle your fingers and toes. Slowly begin to open your eyes when you're ready. And if you don't want to, just stay in meditation. That's fine too, because Leslie's going to continue to beam love and light at us throughout the call. So just go yin, even when we're talking. Feel free to remain in a yin state and receive. Oh, thank you, everybody. Thank you for sharing that beautiful moment with me, with us. There's so much we could talk about, and I want to make sure that we leave time for questions and sharing. So let me just jump into some of the thoughts that I had today that I was, when I was tuning in on the energy of the group. You know, there's many directions we can go with these calls, and so I'm always asking, what is it that we all need? You know, what information is it that we need to hear? What discussion do we need to have today that's going to support us the most in fulfilling our soul's purpose? And I guess what I saw for today was that the energies that we talked about last month are still continuing to move through. They're still very strong. If you were here last month, you'll remember we talked a lot about the intensity and turbulence. And I would also add this month, I would add the word overwhelm. Those seem to be the challenging energies. There's also incredibly beautiful energies right now, too. You can use the energy for extreme highs or extreme lows, whatever it is that you need to experience. The extreme lows, of course, are a gift as well, where we get to process something. But also, you can use it for incredible meditation. So it's as though what I said last month applies right now. It's as though there's been a disturbance in the force. That's how it feels to us here. And it involves feelings of, it's sort of like a challenge with being in the unknown, in the formlessness. It feels like chaos. It feels like there's still an energy of conflict where miscommunications are very easily happen. There are flare-ups and short fuses and anger and all kinds of conflict energy going on, not just for many people at a personal level that I talk to and check in with, but also collectively you see it happening. You don't have to read the news every day to see that. It's just there. And specifically, one of the energies that I wanted to talk about is fear, because it feels to me like the fear is really being ramped up right now. I know a lot of people that are going through very quote-unquote scary scenarios, and especially if you're somebody who reads the news, you'll be sure to experience fear. There are so many fear scenarios being thrown around right now. And some of it is not necessarily not untrue. You know, there is truth to quite a bit of it, but there's actually also a lot of disinformation that goes with it. and it's purposefully put out there to get us to buy into it and to feed that fear scenario, that potential timeline that we could all go down that would lead us to something even more fearful. So it's like it feeds itself, and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy in a way. So if we buy into the fear, it's like a snowball effect. So it's very important right now for all of us to practice witnessing and to not buy into the fear. And just as I said that, a huge wind just picked up outside. Do you hear that? And rain, massive rainstorm just landed on us. The weather is responding. So it's as though fear is like a fuel, and it fuels these potential negative scenarios. So again, like I said, it's so important to practice witnessing. And if you're new to these calls, if you're new to Core Light, when we say witnessing, what we mean is to find that place in us that is neutral, that is connected to the soul, connected to the higher self, like the fulcrum of the teeter-totter, that neither believes nor disbelieves, neither grabs on to the positive nor the negative, and just watches dispassionately. It doesn't mean numbing out. It doesn't mean ignoring. It doesn't mean suppressing. It just means observing neutrally. So that is a place of great spiritual power, if we can cultivate that, especially right now. And when we can do that, when we can practice the witnessing, and when we remain in our hearts, we help dissolve those situations, those potential negative timelines. It's the witness allows us to, how do I say this? It's as though when we're witnessing, we can't be controlled. When we're witnessing, we're in our hearts. When we're witnessing, we see what's going on, and we don't buy into the fear scenarios. And it's not a place where you can be controlled by outside forces. And I think that's, you know, part of the experience that humanity is going through right now, is to step outside of that control factor. So when we do this, we're actually part of a solution. We're part of the solution that is leading us into the new paradigm of the heart. It's the awakening of this new paradigm through that simple technique of witnessing and staying in our hearts. So that is the solution. And when we do this, we're also then able to help other people. We can be the strong person who helps others through challenging times. So I know that many of us in the Core Light community are in a position, people look up to us to be able to support them with this kind of a grounding, luminous energy. And I think, you know, as time progresses, many of us are discovering that that's what we're here for. That's our soul's purpose, is to be that person who can ground the spiritual energy, who can stay in the core and stay in the witness and stay in the heart no matter what is happening. And the fear can be running rampant through the collective, but we're not buying into it. We're stepping outside that and allowing it to pass through and witnessing and using all the processing tools that Leslie taught us for 25, 30 years to be able to move through that with such grace. And I think I might have mentioned this on one call, but I have to say it again. It's when I was traveling around last year in the U.S. and in the U.K., going from event to event, whenever we would gather, it was probably about, I don't know, 25% longtime Core Light people and maybe about 75% new people, people new to the work. And so many times, when a Core Light person would share in the group, everybody would be riveted by what they were saying, and they would want to know more, because they said, what, you know, how do you do that? How do you respond to a situation like that with such grace and with such poise and with such love and forgiveness and generosity and all these qualities of the heart? It is a skill. It is a skill that we develop. And I even heard somebody say, I want what they have. And I know I've shared that with a few of you, but I'm hoping that's new for some of you on the call today, because it was so powerful for me to witness that, to see that, yeah, you know, that's our training. That's what this work is that Leslie taught us for so long. The Core Light teachings are really about strengthening that core, that witnessing self, the core of enlightenment that is within each one of us. So anyway, let's move on. There's a couple more things I wanted to share. I wanted to talk about the antidotes to these negative energies. And as I said, I don't want to just dwell on the negative. It's intense, and yes, there's fear. Yes, there's all kinds of ramping up of the negative energies. But if you are attuned and you're sensitive, you can use this intensity to ramp up your meditation, to ramp up your ability to process, to ramp up the power of your witness. So it's a matter of focus. It's a matter of where you put your energy and how strong your witness has become. So antidotes, it reminds me, before the call, I asked Leslie if she had a message for everybody today, and she said yes. And I'm going to read it to you right now. She said, please be kind and caring towards each other. There's such a lack of kindness in the world today. Being generous is the antidote to greed. Being in integrity and in love is the antidote to corruption. And end quote. So I share that with you because I feel like that's a very... it's an important thing to focus on right now. You know, one of the antidotes to this fear and the ramping up of negative energies is about being kind and caring. So she also added being generous and being in integrity and in love, but specifically just the simple message was, she said, just tell people to be kind. You know, that's what it's all about. Just be kind to each other. And, you know, that's such a powerful thing. We take it for granted, but, let's take that to heart. Also, I think the prevailing energy for right now is very much requiring us to be grounded. So I would say being a good example of a strong and grounded presence on the earth is one of the main antidotes, one of the main things we can all focus on right now. So that's another practice. Practice whatever you need to do to remain an example of being strong and grounded here on the earth. We've been talking about this for a long time, but I have to add it in because it's, and that is practicing self-care. Self-care is critical because we are in this for the long run. And if we're not actively practicing the self-care, we're going to burn out. We're going to get sucked into the vortex of negativity. So it's very serious. It's like we need to take our self-care much more seriously than ever before. Do the things that feed you. Stop if you need to stop. Give yourself permission to go in nature, get a massage, meditate, listen to music and dance, sing, do what you need to do, eat well. It reminds me, one of the things I did this week, I wanted to share with you just a personal example. I'm taking Kathy Stanley's course, which Core Light is offering, and it's called Earth Shakti Rising, and it's profound, as I knew it would be. And the assignment for the first week, it started on February 1st, so the first week assignment was to spend time in a special place in nature and really just be there for a little while and give yourself over to an experience of being in nature. And it can be anywhere, whether it's your backyard or in the woods or near the river or wherever you can go, in a park. But just do that and see what happens. And so I spent time under a giant tree in our yard here in South Africa. We have some chairs and a hammock around this enormous tree. It's so big that I can't wrap my arms around it. Maybe if there were three of me, we might be able to get our arms mostly around it. It's huge, very ancient old tree, and I keep a hammock there, And like I was telling Kathy in the group in the class the other day, I don't often get time in the hammock. I like to look at the hammock and remind myself that's what it would be like to relax, is you'd be in a hammock under a nice tree. And sometimes that's enough, you know, if you've got a million things to do, like most people in the world that I know, you know, it's nice to just remember what that feels like to relax sometimes. But I actually took time this week several times to get in the hammock and spend a few moments just being with this tree. And oh my goodness, it was profound. It was, I had this experience of the tree as an enlightened being. And I'd had this before with trees. I won't go into the details. I've shared it on calls before, but I had it again where I became one with this tree and I remembered how giving trees are and how the energy just pours out of them. They give us so much if we would just take the time to receive and to be with the tree. It is an enlightened being. And it is an example of being grounded in the core. Talk about being grounded in the core. The tree has its roots deep into the earth, and that strong trunk is immovable. And it's like a shashumna on the earth. It's like an acupuncture needle on the earth that is drawing energy all the time. And we can receive it. It's happy to give it to us. So I just had this experience of just not even that long under the tree, where I became one with the tree, but I also started to become one with all the other aspects of nature around me. And I heard the birds in a new way. They were inside me and I was inside them, and the insects chirping and singing and the clouds and the sunshine and the breeze. And oh, even 15, 20 minutes to do of that is enough to completely rejuvenate a person. So I invite you as an exercise this week, join us in our Earth Shakti Rising class assignment to go out into nature wherever you are, even if it's really cold where you are. I know it's winter in the Northern Hemisphere, but find a place where you can go and just be with some aspect of nature and just receive and just empty your mind and relax into it and see what an amazing difference it makes in your life. I could go on, but I'm not going to. It was a profound experience. The last piece, and I do want to open up to questions and sharing very soon, but there's another piece that feels very important to talk about. It's what I said we were going to talk about today, and that is practicing joy. And it's certainly what Leslie and I have been doing here in South Africa. And again, I would ask you to please bear with me, and please don't hang up, and don't tune out, and don't roll your eyes and think that this is some kind of Pollyanna nonsense, New Age fantasy. When I talk about joy, I often can feel the thought forms, and it's sometimes not, you know, it's not very kind. Because to talk about joy in a time where there is, I don't mean to make light of it, I'm trying to laugh about it, but, you know, the truth is there is so much suffering in the world right now. There's so much challenge that we all face. And there are certainly very painful things happening to people in nature right now. And it's very painful, very, very hard. People who have illnesses, nature being brutally assaulted in so many ways, people being assaulted, war, etc. The list is long and I won't go through it. You know what I'm talking about. So I don't mean to make light of those things. Certainly having compassion and being aware of these things and practicing loving compassion, practicing praying for those who suffer, practicing prayer for all sentient life on earth, not suppressing, not avoiding, not denying the emotions that come up when these things happen. Being with those feelings of grief if we need to, being with the sadness or the anger or fear or whatever it is that comes up, it's so important. We have to allow the heart to have its due. The suppression and avoidance and denial does not go well. So that is not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about spiritual bypassing. However, when those things pass through and when we regain a sense that we've emptied ourselves of those emotions, practicing joy as often as we possibly can is so important, because literally it is the antidote. It is the antidote to fear. Joy and fear cannot exist together. It's either one or the other. So if you're in fear and you don't want to be, if you would like to allow that to pass through you quickly, I invite you, I suggest, to practice joy. And I remember, actually part of what brought this up for me today is I'm working on a new chapter for Leslie's book, Returning to Oneness, which was published a long, long time ago, 18 years ago. And we're almost out of copies. So this year we're going to be publishing the third edition of Returning to Oneness, The Seven Keys of Ascension. And after the second edition was published, Leslie channeled an eighth key, which is for the thymus chakra. And it's don't worry, be happy. And so I've really been focused on this four-word philosophy, don't worry, be happy, which is a worldwide phenomenon, as you all know. It was made very popular, but it was originally a spiritual teaching by Meher Baba, the Indian guru. And it's profound. It's a profound four-word philosophy. And what I'm speaking to right now, it encapsulates in four words. And what is worry? Worry is fear. It's a small little energy of fear. And we're taught in our world, as I've spoken about many times on these calls, and I know this is a reminder for most of you anyway, but you know, worry is like praying for the thing you don't want. We're taught that to love someone is to worry about them. And if we worry enough, then we must really, really love them. And it's actually the opposite of the truth, because the truth is when we worry about somebody, we wrap them up in this fear energy, and it discombobulates them. It does not help. It actually hinders a person in their ability to live their soul's highest purpose. So the thing that we're worried about the most for that person is not loving them. It's actually hindering them. So I feel like this four-word philosophy is very important for us right now. If you haven't listened to Leslie's audio called The New Thymus Chakra, we sell it on our website, and it's fantastic. It's got great information, and it's got guided meditations in it, and it helps you to activate the thymus chakra, which is newly developing in our world. It is the key to our health. Some people call it the seat of spirituality, the seat of our spiritual self, or the seat of the soul. It's a center for joy. It's a center for higher love. It's also called the higher heart. So I feel like it's information for our times. It is information that we could all use right now to get through these challenging times, is to learn more about the thymus chakra and to practice the philosophy of don't worry, be happy. And again, you know, happiness, I'm not talking about the kind of happiness that comes from outer circumstances, you know, the response to an outer circumstance, like when we go shopping and we get happy because we practiced retail therapy. Or like a child getting a toy, you know, and it's all temporary. It's all ephemeral, because suddenly the thing goes away, or we're disenchanted with it and we lose our happiness. We're talking about the joy that comes from our spiritual path, that comes from the awakening that happens inside the heart. And when we find that love inside us that we are, when we discover that we are love, we're made of love, we can give love, we can live love, we can be love, that's where that joy is born. And some people say it's born in the higher heart, which is the thymus chakra. it's as though the heart chakra, if the heart chakra is about love, the thymus chakra is about unconditional love, the love of humanity, the love of the masses. And it's the connection to the soul. Even Plato, as I've been reading about it, Plato talked about this. He talked about the thymus being the seat, one of the seats of the soul. So anyway, I'm finding this stuff fascinating, and it gives credence to what I'm feeling, which is, you know, that this is an important practice for us right now, the practice of joy. So I know that we all have our ways of experiencing joy. And when you feel ready, again, I'm not saying if you need to grieve, if you need to be angry or whatever, do that. But when you're ready, practice the joy. And whether you're dancing, singing, making love, eating good food, you know, all the things, helping other people, meditating, doing yoga, the things that you love, do that as much as you possibly can, because this is the antidote. This is what's going to birth the new paradigm of the heart. There's this huge amount of scientific evidence that shows that when we practice joy through things like simple smiling, when we smile, it releases the happy hormones. And that improves our health, it improves our mood, it lifts us up. All these joy hormones, these happy hormones are released. Even, they've discovered scientifically, even when you fake a smile. There's some researcher that says, even if you look in the mirror and fake a smile, it makes your brain react and feel happy. It's like, you know how smiles are contagious, like when you're walking around and you smile at somebody, usually they smile back at you, unless you're maybe in New York City or somewhere. sorry to the New Yorkers, but you know what I mean. So when you smile at someone, it's contagious, and that's a scientifically proven thing. They've done this research to show that the brain, through the eyes, when we see somebody smile, the brain says, oh, happiness, and it secretes the happy hormones. So you can smile at yourself in a mirror, and it'll feed your happy hormones to you, and they're free. It's like free drugs. I'm not advocating drug use. I'm just saying that this is our body's natural drug that makes us happy and makes us feel joy and love and care for others. And so it is a positive feedback loop. So it's kind of like fake it until you make it. And so I wanted to stress it. And I know this is a reminder for most of you. And I have to apologize to those of you who may have advised me never to talk about joy, but I just can't not talk about it. So I'm offering this to you with the understanding for all of us that this is really part of the solution to the state of the world. And I'm serious, like that, the practice of joy and the practice of love and the practice of these higher qualities is what will transform the world. So I invite you to participate in that. And I guess I just want to ask you, can you feel the magic that's happening on the earth right now? Yes, there's all the fear. Yes, there's all the negative scenarios that are being cranked out by the media and by all kinds of other sources. But can you feel this magic? It's there. Can you feel this birth of the new paradigm of the heart? And how much are you ready to tap into it? Because that's what we're being invited to do. We are being invited to tap into this energy and be the leaders of the heart. We're being invited to create the new pathways into the heart. And it's the birthing of a whole new world. It's a birthing of a whole new frequency of love and heart energy on the planet. So can we get used to this idea that we can live in love and joy, and we can live in the higher frequencies, even though there's all this other stuff going on in the world. Can we get used to that? Can we tap into it? Can we get used to the idea that the years ahead are going to be the best years of our lives? Sure, there'll be chaos. Sure, there'll be challenges. Sure, there'll be all kinds of things that go on that require us to grieve and, you know, the tumult. But I think it's vital that we ask ourselves that question. Can we allow that? Can we allow that in, that these are going to be the best years of our lives, the knowing that we will thrive? Because this is what our souls incarnated for. Our souls incarnated for this time, to live our spiritual truth and to help other people and to hold this anchor, this grounded divine energy for the earth and for other people while we go through the challenges. Okay. Barbara, I feel like it's time. Maybe we should open up the microphone now to everybody, and I'd love to hear your sharing or questions or whatever you'd like to say today. I would invite you, you know, just in terms of time, we've got usually quite a few people who would like to share. So please be as concise as you possibly can. We want you to share what you need to share, but it's important to be concise if you can. So thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you for that, Brad. To remind everyone, if you would like to share, press star 2 on your phone, and that will raise your hand. And then I can call on you and unmute you. And, Brad, if I could just say a quick little something about the thymus chakra.
Please.
And
please,
don't worry. And don't worry. Be happy. So, you know, it's one thing to open your heart when things are going well. And, you know, the key is when we're most challenged to keep our hearts open. And I remember that when I first sat with Leslie in 1998, that was one of the first teachings that she shared, you know, when I was there. About someone whose husband had recently passed. And she was using her as an example of going through the grief and not shutting down and not shutting her heart down. And it was a powerful teaching, and this woman was just absolutely an amazing example of going through grief and continuing to keep her heart open. I had not ever experienced anything like that before. And back in 1988, I came across country from the East Coast to the West Coast to take care of my mother as she was transitioning out of her body. And it was the first time in this incarnation that I received such clear guidance from my guides and my clear connection to the divine, and I made a commitment to walk the path of this transition with my mother in a very conscious way. And it was a profound experience, and I very rarely left my mother's side for like 5 weeks as she was going through this time period. But when I did get in the car to run to get medication or to the grocery store or whatever, each and every time I got in the car and I turned the ignition on, the radio would play Bobby McFadden's song, "Don't Worry, Don't Worry, Be Happy." And I knew that it was the divine speaking to me. And I was in such a state of expanded awareness. It was an exquisite journey through a very difficult and challenging time. So I just really wanted to share the power of the thymus chakra, the unconditional love, the high heart, and don't worry, be happy. So I can see how timely this is right now for us to be reminded as we're going through these tremendously chaotic times. And, you know, as you just shared so beautifully, Brad, you know, we chose to incarnate at this time to bring through the light and the unconditional love that is so very much needed on the planet right now.
Amen. Thank you, Barbara.
Yes.
Beautiful sharing.
Yes. Yeah, so I look forward to hearing what others might share. I'll check on the web if anybody would like to write in anything. And again, star 2 to raise your hand if you'd like to share. And we do have a hand raised, and I believe it's Paula. Paula, you have the mic.
Okay.
Hi, Paula.
Hi, Brad. Thank you for the joy, rah-rah.
the cheerleading session.
Right. It's so true. It's so true. And it's the one thing we think, oh, I can't do that. And that just buys into all the crap. And
exactly.
So as all of us do, I have people in my life, people I care about, who are way different in their appreciation of what's going on politically. And someone posted something on Facebook that said, we're not really, in other words, we're looking for a new movement, a new an opening, and that's what they're calling our current president, the disruptor, because for some reason people just hate the status quo. However, the point I'm trying to make is, okay, so we can disrupt whatever needs to be disrupted, and the best way to do that is to not vilify each other. I just felt like there's an opening in a way to create a vision of what we're all trying to go toward and sidestepping the vilification by just refocusing on the goal. It's so important to get out of this vilification energy, because it's destroying us and allowing a lot of things to go on that probably shouldn't be going on. So that's what I had
totally
to say.
Agree.
Thank you.
Paula, thank you. No, I totally agree with you. What I see is that particular process of separation, division, vilification, whatever you want to call it, is actually being ramped up on purpose. It's being things are getting thrown at us in the media to try to get us to react in anger and to vilify the other, whether it's conservatives versus liberals, blacks versus whites, you know, men versus women, Americans versus everybody else. I don't know. The list goes on. But whenever I watch the news, I'm always really careful to get in my witness, because I know that even if there's something that's true, it's being done purposely to get us to react and to vilify and separate. And so I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist. So even if you don't believe that, please don't discount what I'm saying. But the truth is that we are in a place where we can practice not buying into this, not vilifying, but rather witnessing and finding the place of commonality, not blaming, not projecting, but rather processing ourselves. If there's somebody doing something that we disagree with, rather than blame that person, let's look at where we do that thing and process ourselves, because there's really nothing that's outside of us. There's nothing that we haven't done ourselves to some degree. So, you know, that's the most powerful response we can have. The best solution we can have is, rather than blaming and projecting, is to look at ourselves and process whatever we need to. Where did we get triggered? Where do we do that thing? And, you know, the other thing, maybe you've discovered this too, but I remember I was spending time, how do I say this? I was spending time with some people who, family members actually, who are super, super conservative and friends as well. And I love these people. And, you know, I wanted to understand why they were thinking and feeling the way they were. And we had a long discussion about it. And what we discovered was that actually we all had the same common goal. Mm-hmm. Everybody wanted change. Everybody knew that the system is not working. There's something terribly broken about our system, about our world. It's not going well. And we all want it to change. And that's where we all agree. The only place where we disagree is the how part, is how that should look. How should the change look? And some people say it should be, you know, through the conservative methods, and other people say it should be through the liberal methods, and other people say other things. So it's all, you know, it's the place where we can come into an agreement is that we're all wanting change. We're all wanting to live more in heart and more in love.
Not this minute.
Yeah, I need your
medication. Brad, can you hear me still?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes.
Yeah. So the thing that causes me concern is, you know, they talk about the silo effect of anything that you do online. Anything you do online becomes expanded in that same direction. Mm-hmm. And,
okay.
But so, which is one thing. But the other thing I'm seeing is people think that opinion is news. They're not looking for facts. They're not looking for dates. They're not looking for names. It just seems like people fall into, what is it? You know, they like to have their point of view reinforced, and that must be a dopamine hit or something. I don't know. I don't know the neurology of it, but so there's that piece as well that I'm not very good at having found any solution so far. Let's put it that way. So I just want to put that out there as well.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Paula. This is all food for thought. Very good.
And I'm
thank
muting
you,
Paula, because you've got, she's got some background noise going on, Brad. So I muted her. And I think that, you know, there's some really valid points that are being made here that we could possibly, you know, bring together. And that is, there's a lot of rage. And so when we disagree, it's an opportunity for many of us who may not be as consciously aware, or even those of us who may be aware, to vent our rage. And there's a need for a shift in consciousness that you so beautifully described, Brad, about shifting our focus, our concentration on what we share in common as opposed to where we disagree. So it looks like, you know, that would be a wonderful process for each and every one of us to take a look at, because the only person that we have influence over and can change is ourselves. And it is through our own behavior that it's going to affect the collective. You know, we're talking about the 100th monkey. And, you know, that shift in consciousness, and who knows which one of us will be that 100th monkey to wash the sand off our potato in the water, and we'll get the shift in consciousness for the whole collective to see that we're more unified than we are separate. So, I really appreciate this conversation that we're having right now, because we can make a conscious choice.
Yes, thank you, Barbara. Well
said. Yeah, beautiful. And thank you to Paula. We got somebody on the Q&A, Brad, Dale Lee, who is saying, in Dr. Hawkins' scale of consciousness, in parentheses, 0 to 1,000, from the book Power versus Force, he rates joy at 540. God view is one. Life view is complete. Emotion is serenity. And process is transfiguration. So that's a wonderful book. It, you know, I highly recommend people to read if they haven't.
Yeah, let me just elaborate on what Dale's saying, because that is, like Barbara said, it's a powerful, extraordinary book, well worth reading, Power versus Force by Dr. David Hawkins. And 540 is actually a very high score. The way he scores things is he through kinesiology, he was able to measure the power of a thought form. And what he discovered is, like, if, for example, the higher your thought forms, the higher your vibration, the more you're living in love and joy and so forth, the higher you are on that scale. And it's an exponential scale, so that, for example, if you're vibrating at 500, your thoughts are maybe hundreds of times more powerful than somebody who's very negative and vibrating at a 100, which are, you know, it's anger, pain, and fear kind of stuff. So so when Dale says joy is at 540, that's a very, very high score. I remember in the book, he says for 7.5 billion people on the planet, or whatever the population was at that time, if there were one person on the planet vibrating at 1,000, it would be like an avatar. That person, one person's thought forms would balance out the entire rest of humanity. So, like, I think the Dalai Lama rated around somewhere in the 600s or something. So 540 is a very high score. And so if we can all live more in joy, think about what a difference our thoughts make when we're living in that place. How much more powerful our thoughts are than the masses who might be vibrating, you know, at the lower rates in fear and anger and so forth. So thank you, Dale.
Yes, beautiful. Okay, are we ready for the next share?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Patricia Lemke, you have the mic.
Oh, thank you. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
I'm so glad to be with you today. I've missed a few sessions. I just want to say that all the talk about joy is so important. I realize that most of my life, I've been known as the personal cheerleader. I encourage other people, and I have for all my life, as long as I can remember. But it just is there. It's not something I have to manufacture. So from that point, I'm going to go to the next point, and that's that even in the midst of difficulties, there's room for laughter at some layer. My husband and I each fell and broke our same left leg within the last few months. And
my goodness.
Yeah, it was sort of traumatic, because then, you know, we'd been used to helping each other, and then there was no helpers, we had to say, okay, you know, this is really silly. How did this happen? And amazingly, people came from every place, bringing things, doing things, you know, just coming to entertain us, to spend a lunchtime with us or whatever. And it was like, wow. So, and then we went to the doctor's office, and the doctors told us that that was way too much togetherness. And we were all just laughing, you know. Every time we come in, we'd have the whole staff laughing, and we once went in before Thanksgiving, and the gal said, "Dad, don't come back next Thursday. We aren't going to be here." So, you know, I mean, it was just, we we just noticed about ourselves that as we could have chosen to really go the other direction with nobody to drive and nobody to go up and down the stairs and all the stuff we usually do. But we just kept finding funny things about it. And we found out how much we loved and cared about each other. We found out how people feel when they are distressed, like not being able to do things. We had a deeper knowing and compassion for others. I'm going to say it was a beautiful experience. I'm not going to say that it didn't hurt, because it did. And we did, you know, wear the boots and do all the stuff we were supposed to do. But right now, both of us are healed and we're doing well. And, you know, I just wanted to share that with people, because the way you practice your life can carry on into all kinds of things. So, you know, I've also learned that staying in my witness is really important. There's a time to listen and a time not to talk, and that's how I've experienced joy, and I'm very thankful, very grateful. So just
Thank
to
you,
say
Pat.
That there's all kinds of ways of doing things, and we are still learning. We're both my husband and I are past 80 now, so we're just still learning, and it's a great thing, and don't give up.
Yes.
Thank you, Pat, and I'm sorry to hear about your broken legs. Gosh, that's shocking. So we'll hold you in healing light and prayer.
Thank you.
And it's so great that you can laugh about it. I mean, that you made a very important point. We all need to take time to laugh every day, no matter what our circumstances. It's very healing.
So, you know, and
Leslie
and
I practice that every day. Leslie and I are laughing at the drop of a hat nowadays. We just laugh. That's what we do all day long.
And the other thing that does, I think, and you and Leslie probably know this too, is it draws other people into your home.
Yeah.
Yes.
They want to be
with
people who are laughing and happy. You know.
Yes. It's contagious, right?
It is. It
it's
is
like
contagious.
The smiles. The smiles. Yeah, it's all contagious.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway, just to support what you're saying today, I love you guys so much and honor your course and what you're doing. And it's beautiful.
Thank you.
And what a gift you gave everybody else, Pat. It feels like you and your husband have so much to share. And that by this happening and you opening your doors and welcoming them in, they thought they were coming to serve you. And they too received.
Funny how that works.
I know, so beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome. Love you guys.
Love you too.
Love you too.
Okay. So the next hand raised is Teresa. Teresa, you have the mic.
Thank you. Thank you, Brad and Leslie and Barbara, for facilitating these calls. They are what's getting me through the days lately. So about a year and a half ago, we had to give up our home in Colorado on secluded acreage and came down to Florida where our little home was, and it's on a very busy street. And it really threw my nervous system out of whack. And I've experienced the dark night of the soul since I've been here for about 3 months, and this was about a year ago. And I just wanted to say that for the last 4 months, I keep getting, you're going to get kicked out of the tribe, you're going to be drowned, you're going to be stoned. And then I wake up one morning and I was just like, I'm afraid to die. And I'm like, really? I've worked really diligently on this death piece with Corelight. And and I heard, this isn't about your physical body, sweetheart. This is about your egoic. And this is about moving into the fifth dimension. And so it feels like just so much at once to navigate. And I'm not sleeping due to menopause and all this stuff. And so not sleeping really adds to the, you know, trying to stay grounded and being be in that love space. And I know that I have a choice, and I do choose to feel the magic and to be in my heart. Lately, I feel like I'm not doing that great of a job with, I don't know, communicating. I just seem like the patience level isn't quite there with other people, and I don't want to judge that, and I'm allowing myself to go through that. Although, one thing that Barbara shared with me was on one of our squares last week, was the demons at the gate. And so that has just really helped me to be that little deer and look at the ogre and love him and love that part of myself too. And so, and the being grateful and in joy is what's getting me through all this, and Corelight. And thank you for walking the path with me. Thank you.
Oh, Teresa, thank you for sharing. I'm so sorry to hear you're going through such a hard time mentally and emotionally and your nervous system and all of that. My goodness. So I have so much compassion for you. I know what that feels like, and God bless you. So hang in there. Sounds like you're doing all the right things you need to do, and just keep on processing and you'll get through this.
I will. And you know, I didn't want to sound like I'm like in the dumps, and I totally know that all this is for my evolution. And so when I can keep that in the forefront, I'm so willing to go through whatever it takes to evolve.
Exactly.
And so
that's it.
Yeah.
Well, our greatest breakthroughs come from our greatest challenges.
Right. So anyway, I just wanted to share. Maybe other people are seeing those demons and running back down the hill and trying to face them.
Yeah, it's just like Brad was talking about, you know, with our fear. You know.
Right.
And being able to face our fears. And please know, Teresa, that I am here for you. We are all here for you. And if you're needing to talk and, you know, reach out, I'm so glad that you're on this call and that you're on the Squares Processing call. And, you know, this is the time that we really need to reach out and ask each other for help. That's what we're here for. And I know that you have helped and guided so many, Teresa, over so many years. And so, you know, we each take our turn.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Love you.
Thank you.
Love you so much. Yeah.
Oh, love you.
Love you, Teresa.
Love you, Brad. Give Leslie a big kiss for me.
I will. I promise.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. I'm finished.
Yeah, and I am hearing Leslie, and you know, I'm hearing, and this too shall pass.
Yes, yes, I've been saying that daily.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, thank
Beautiful.
You. Thank you so much.
All right, Teresa. Okay, the next hand raised is Tony and Celine. I'm guessing it's Tony, but I'm not sure. You have the mic.
Hi, this is Celine.
Oh, it's Celine. Hi, Celine.
Hi, Celine.
Really happy to be on the call. Thank you for sharing all the wisdom. And what I wanted to mention is that I'm reading a book called A Year of Living Kindly. And I wanted to mention that because of Leslie's message. I just came across it. It's relatively new. It's by Donna Cameron, and it's called A Year of Living Kindly, Choices That Will Change Your Life and the World Around You. And I haven't gotten too far into it yet, but it looks like a really great book, and I thought I would share that with you because of Leslie's message.
Oh, thank you. Sounds like a book we should all read.
Yeah, it's it says A Life of Kindness Requires Courage is one of the chapters, and it talks about practices and dealing with, you know, people who are unkind, and how just different ways to be more kind in your life. So anyway, that was mainly what I wanted to share, and I want to thank Thank you for the work that you're doing. Means a lot.
Thank you, Celine.
Thank you.
Beautiful sharing.
Yes, thank you, Celine, and how timely to have that book to share. So thank you for that. On the web, Alana shared, go around with an inner smile. And she put that in capital letters, inner smile. And I couldn't help but think when I read that, Brad, you know, talking about smiling into the mirror, even if it's a fake smile, that it will shift things. So I love this suggestion from Alana about having that inner smile.
It's a great, I love it. And what happens to me when I think of inner smile is I get a smile on my face as soon as I think
yes.
of an inner smile. So great,
yes.
It's a great technique.
Beautiful. Yeah. That's great, Alana. Thank you. The next hand raised is Susan. Susan, you have the mic.
Thank you so much. Hi, Brad. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Susan.
What I wanted to share was when you spoke on joy, I was just like, I've been feeling that it gets obscured and it comes and goes. But when I'm coming towards the end of processing something, there's this sense of joy. It's sort of like not an overwhelming like bliss out, but just like an ease and comfort. And I feel like I want to share that what I feel is happening is that the earth is turning into a lot of fears instead of not facing them. It's like a turning into them. And in that turning into them, a processing of them, meeting them in the high heart, or this, like, I guess that would be the thyroid.
Thymus,
yeah, the thymus.
Yep.
And
yes.
I think that if we hold judgment, if we're holding judgment about outcomes and right and wrong and what we want to see manifesting, we're actually hindering what could be manifested. I can't remember which of my teachers said this, and it may have been in The Marriage of Spirit, but when we get out of the way and we give it to Source and we let Source do it, Source can do everything beyond our imagination that we could ever imagine, and also give us exactly what we need. So,
yes,
I think I get a sense of that happening, a sense of moving out of the way. And the next thing I wanted to share, especially for Paula, is that there is a recording that Lucia Renee did for free called The Game Board of Our Lives, where she talks about her embodying of the different dimensions, and she goes through all 12. And what I've learned from her and from Elizabeth Wood is when you turn into something, especially if it's this energy is meeting you at your heart, or in actually in any part of your body, if you just go ahead and go into an observation mode with it, or just go ahead and fully turn into it, it'll start to dissipate. And I have what I call a merging program, because I'm kind of lazy, that I programmed my heart to do. I just say, heart, do the merging program. And that's the highest unconditional love of Source, the highest unconditional love of the Divine Mother, and the highest and most formless energy of the Christ consciousness. So I'm just like, dear heart, please apply this energy to this part of whatever's happening here now. So, and it'll bring it down to something that's manageable. And if I do need to directly engage with it, it becomes I'm more able to look beyond whatever form is presented to me and be like, this is source presenting this to me so I can resolve it back to its oneness, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can take release it from its compressed consciousness. So
beautiful.
I know it's hard, but Brad, when you spoke of that joy, I was like, oh, that's what that is. That's what's trying to manifest. And I also think what's trying to manifest is having respect for others' journeys and where they're at in their own consciousness and what they need to go through. Because
mm-hmm.
I had an experience where I was judging a teacher on what they were going through and what they were presenting to their students. And I was just like, oh, wow, what is that saying about me instead of what is that saying about them? And I had to step away from that. And I was just like, I had to pull my judgment off and say, well, maybe that's what they need to go through right now.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to, be the savior, right? So instead of looking at their victimhood and instead of enforcing it by thinking, oh, they're victims of bad teaching, I was just like, oh, maybe they're being victims of your judgment. So
good, Susan.
And then I guess that's it. I guess, yeah, I'm good. All right, but anyway, but if you tap deep, like, and connect to the earth, you'll feel that joy trying to, like, bubble up. So, and that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. That was wonderful. And
yeah,
spirit spirit will do whatever that it needs to do to get our attention, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, it's so important that we face our fears, you know, that when a fear comes up, it's not about denying it. It's about, as you said, it's about meeting that fear and acknowledging it, naming it, witnessing it, processing it, and letting it go. And if we try to indulge in suppressing, denying, or avoiding the fear, it's just going to get worse. So I think you're absolutely right. And, that's part of the journey that we're all taking here at Core Light. It's part of what Leslie's been teaching for so long, is engaging those shadow aspects and witnessing, naming, and letting go. So thank you, Susan. Barbara, was there anything you wanted to say?
I just was loving the sharing. And, you know, as Susan was talking about this, you know, this is what Leslie talks about with the neutral witness. And so as we're feeling into it, and you were saying so beautifully about, you know, avoiding or denying, we are really being asked to hold that neutral space and to neither abandon those parts nor, you know, merge and become codependent with them. So we're walking this fine line of balance now. The more conscious we become, the more aware we are, the more we're able to walk the middle way. So I think that's why all of this is being presented to us. We're being pushed. We're being forced into this tipping point, this edge. So everything is a gift. All these demons at the gate, when we walk through, turn into bodhisattvas, as Leslie so brilliantly has shared with us.
Mm.
So we're well prepared for these times of great change, even though it may not always feel that way. And I also wanted to share, Brad, that Dale wrote on the web here that Leslie has a meditation called the New Thymus Chakra, and it's in the Core Light store. And he said it's an amazing meditation. And so you can go into the website and look for the New Thymus Chakra meditation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one I mentioned before. The New Thymus Chakra is the name of the audio, and it's got actually three different meditations and a lecture as part of it.
Good. Beautiful.
Fantastic.
So he was repeating, so I guess we needed to hear that again.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, well, there you go.
Good. Good. Thank you, Susan. Okay, so next hand raised is Linda. Linda, you have the mic.
Thank you. I think listening to what Susan said and the discussion around her contributions, mm-hmm. I probably didn't even need to raise my hand. That helps a lot. I've been pretty overwhelmed of late. I'm having health problems and then I also have thought that part of my mission in life has been to be waking up and be politically involved. Well, I've stepped back from being politically involved to the extent that all I do is send money to candidates now, and I don't make phone calls, and I don't run for office, and blah blah blah. But I can't stop watching, even though I'm down in Baja. We've got a TV, and I watch most of the politics most of the days in between other things I do. And what has happened, you know, with the Senate doing such a massive cover-up of Trump's misdeeds and essentially allowing him to become a dictator for the rest of his term has just shattered me to a point where I've just felt completely overcome with, like, I feel as though handling the things that are going on in my personal life and that is more than I can bear sometimes, but I don't have to make the choice of being that emotionally involved in all of the external events that I have thought I could affect better through my spiritual growth than I was doing through my political action. But I've let my spiritual growth kind of affected by what all is going on that I'm still so actively processing too. So Joyce, at the beginning of this call, Joyce seemed like a pretty far off, dim little star to be gazing at, but it feels a little closer now. And I thank you all for all the experiences that have been shared and all the good ideas and the references to books to read and tapes to hear and so on. And I need to do more of that. And I think
well,
I will have to listen to this one again more than once.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Well, Linda, thank you for sharing. And I know you're not alone in how you feel. Many people feel that way. And, you know, one of the practices we can all do right now is there are a few things that come to mind to share here. One is the greatest gift that we can give the world and the political situation and people and whatever, you know, whatever is going on, the greatest gift that we can give is our own spiritual awakening. So to focus on that rather than focusing on our feelings of powerlessness in the face of events in the world, you know, that's going to be the most beneficial for you and the world. So, that's number one, I would say,
mm-hmm.
because these situations, they do make us feel powerless. And I think no matter what side of the fence one is on, we have a sense of powerlessness at what's going on the world stage. Not just with politics, but with the ecology, with all kinds of things. So that's number one, is to focus on our own spiritual awakening, because that's where we do have power. We can hold that power in our own hands, whereas anything else is feeling powerless. So that's one thing I wanted to say. Another thing is to say, you know, if if you do wind up coming across some news that gives you a strong opinion and makes you feel extreme emotion, what you called it grief, and so the process involved in that is when we come across whatever it is to look at that thing and say, where do I do this myself? So I think the words you used were something about a dictatorship. And so I know this is not just for Americans. This is for, I've got a lot of friends in Brazil who fear the dictatorship. They had a dictatorship. Not long ago, they had a dictatorship, and the new president is moving them more in that direction, and he's been extolling the virtues of the dictatorship. And other leaders around the world who are moving more towards that conservative side. I'm not taking a side one way or the other, but I'm saying that what is helpful is to say, where am I dictatorial? Where am I dictatorial in my life? Where do I dominate? And it might be with our children, or it might be with a spouse, or it might be dominating our bodies, or it might be dominating our own emotions or our lives in some way. So to look at that inside us, that's where we have power, is to focus on, you know, where we can change, because it won't trigger something in us unless we have a hook inside us. So the key is to find that hook and then process it in yourself. So that's number two.
Well,
and the third thing. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Sorry. Please respond.
Well, I've actually been aware of that. I tuned into the fact that the only way I can keep myself healthy is to behave tyrannically toward myself. I absolutely require that I do certain things at certain times, and you know, and it's I'm a hard taskmaster.
Uh-huh.
There
so
you go.
I'm there with you on that. I got that one.
Yes.
All right. Good. Good.
Yes.
Good for you. So the last
okay,
thing I want to say.
Is the third.
Yeah. The third thing is that all of us can practice neither believing nor disbelieving. Because, you know, when I was with my family and friends who consider themselves, quote unquote, conservatives, I was watching Fox News with them to see what it was all about. And when I was with friends of mine and family who are, quote unquote, the liberals and watching the news that they watch and seeing what that's all about, what I saw was it felt to me like both sides were deliberately stirring the pot. They were putting things out on the Fox News. When I watched that, I would, if I didn't know any better, I would think that anybody who wasn't a conservative was absolutely insane, was foolish. It made me want to be angry at those people, you know, those people, quote unquote, on the other side, quote unquote. It's this whole thing of division. And then when I went over and watched the other news with my other friends who are on the liberal side, it made me think that anybody who was a conservative was foolish and insane and dictatorial and you know, so the list goes on. It's a list of polarities. And so if we've ever been in a time that calls for more obvious process now, I don't know when it would be.
Yeah.
Like, this is obvious.
Yeah.
This is obvious. Yeah. It's a polarity. We're being pushed into it. And it's a great practice right now for all of us to neither believe nor disbelieve what we're watching, and realizing that it's intended to separate us. It's intended to polarize us. So yes, there's some truth in it, but there's always this degree of distortion. There's a degree of distortion, and you don't know what part is distorted. That's the key. So you have to be very, very careful of your news sources. You've got to try to find news sources that are not supported by any any corporation, not supported by any small group of investors or anything. You've got to find news that's more impartial. And even that news, I would say, even that news is influenced by news that is paid for by corporations and others. So I really, seriously, nowadays, I seriously practice neither believing nor disbelieving any of this, and really going into my core and saying, what do I feel inside? What can I process inside? How can I best help in this situation where I feel polarized or powerless or whatever it is? And I always come back to the same thing. It's these practices we're talking about. It's doing our spiritual work. You know, it's unhooking. It's unhooking from this stuff that's meant to grab us and polarize us. And really focusing more on the love and the joy and the spiritual awakening. And that's our greatest gift. It's our greatest power. And if enough of us do it, that's where the tipping point will happen. You know, that's when we'll start to experience the changes that we all want. Right?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. And we're, beautiful, Linda.
My ego keeps insisting that it has to, that my egoic self keeps trying to assert itself and think that I have to have it figured out for myself. I've got to see where the pattern is leading. I've got to know that it's going to come out all right, because I can see a way that it can get there. And I can't see a way, even though a good part of my life I have been able, I thought, to see a way. Now I don't, and you're right. There's nothing left but to go inside and be in touch with the divine.
Sorry, Barbara. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and say hello to that part. See, we become identified with, rather than strengthening the neutral witness. So there's a part that thinks that it's supposed to figure it all out. So we can say hello to that part and ask that part what it's feeling, because it's about the emotion. So we can strengthen the witness by being present with all those parts. You know, I remember there's a recording of Leslie's in Spiritual Warrior. I think it's Change, Balance, and Grounding, where Leslie says, we say to ourselves, you know, I'm so sick and tired. And she said, no, that's not true.
Yeah.
There's part of us that may be feeling sick and tired right now, but the truth of us is not sick and tired at all. So we need to make that shift, that distinction. And that's what I was talking about earlier, about either abandoning that part or becoming enmeshed and merging with it and thinking that's the truth of who we are. And that is not the truth of who we are. And there are parts of us or something in us that's definitely feeling that way and trying to get our attention so that we can work it through and come into balance. So it's a gift, even though it's not feeling like it. And so we can say hello to it and listen to it. We don't have to fix it or change it. We can just acknowledge it. I hear you. So this is great. I'm so glad you're bringing this up, Linda, because there are so many of us who can totally identify with what you're saying. So thank you.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, thank you, Linda.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Okay, so, sorry, I cut you off there, Linda. I apologize. I can see we're out of time here. And so, Brad, I'm going to leave it up to you. I know you want to close.
We're at the 2-hour mark. If there's one more hand and it's quick, if we can go quick, I'm happy to take one more, but then we'll have
to. There is one more hand, and it's Paula. She's already shared. So maybe, Paula, if you couldn't just keep it brief so we can complete our call relatively timely. You are unmuted. Thank you.
Yes, the part about doing the work, I just want to lodge a complaint. I have never been in a time when the work is such a slog. My inner work is slow. It doesn't move. I'm just complaining. That's all. Just want to get that off my chest.
All right.
Good. So all we're right, saying hello to that part, Paula.
Yes.
It feels like it's a slog and it's slow and it doesn't move. Hello to that part.
Hello, Park.
We love you, and one of the maybe talk to that part of you and ask if maybe practicing joy might be a quicker, funner way than the slog. Mm-hmm. So that's just a thought. And thank you, Paul. So with that, I think we need to close because we're over time, and I want to respect everybody's time here. So let's just have a one-minute closure. Barbara, before we close, is there anything else that you'd like to say?
No, just thank you for this call, Brad. So desperately needed, and so many golden nuggets that you've gifted us today. So thank you so much. And thank you to you too, Leslie. I bow to you both.
Thank you, Barbara. Well, I feel the nuggets are coming from all of us. These sharing questions and sharing sessions are so important. I really love them, and everybody's got something very important to put into the pot here, the big soup that we're making. So thank you, Barbara. Thank you for all your wisdom and sharing and holding space for these calls. I'm deeply grateful to you, and I want to thank everybody for showing up for these calls. You know, like I said, everything that you share and all the space holding we're all doing is critical. We're part of a field. We're all part of a field, and we're putting our own piece into the field, holding this field together. So I thank you for showing up for that. So let's now close our eyes and just do a 1 minute, maybe 2 minute closure prayer. Take a few long, deep breaths and deeply relax. I know we stirred a lot up today. And so let's get back into that place of feeling deeply relaxed and surrendered and yin. Ah. So we call on all the beings in the invisible realms who have surrounded us today in love and support. And we give thanks. We offer our gratitude to you for all that you've given us. We're grateful for this time that we share. We're grateful for the love. We're grateful for the opportunity to ascend in consciousness and to grow in love, to discover more and more that we are love. So I invite everybody to visualize this group holding hands in a circle, and in the center of our circle, we put the earth. And we beam our love at the earth and at each other. We create a field of love that's shared amongst us in this circle. See the love as a color. Maybe it's pink or blue or green, but it's surrounding us and surrounding the earth in our circle. And we're beaming this energy all around to each other and to the earth, and especially to all the life forms on the planet that are suffering, human, animal, plant, mineral. And then let's turn that love in on ourselves as well. And let's just have a moment of love and compassion for ourselves and all the challenges that we're going through. Giving ourselves the self-care of love. Just tell yourself how much you love you. And say that to yourself. I love you. I love you. I love you. And let's all put a smile on our faces, even if it's fake. Just smile for a moment. Just put a fake smile on there. Plaster a fake smile on your face. And just for a moment, let yourself feel happy, even if you don't right now. Just try it for a few seconds. And Let's all offer our gratitude to the guides and to each other for this time we share and the love, the field of love that we share. Deep, deep gratitude to you all and to Spirit. Blessings on all of us, Mother Earth herself. And this is goodbye for now. I look forward to seeing you in a month's time. With all my love, love from me and Leslie in South Africa at the bottom of the Nilotic Meridian. Bye for now.